He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Well, it's summertime, and it's been pretty warm, you know, and I'm just grinning and bearing it.
I love the summer. Last night, we were playing keep-up soccer for, like, hours, and then we went for a run. I like to be in an environment where you can just be spontaneous and go out the door and go dip in the lake or go for a run or just be outside. It's so much fun.
Yeah, you seem to be really enjoying yourself.
Well, we're getting really good. You know, we keep it tight.
It's called keep up, right?
It's called keep up. You know, you just flip the ball back and forth. It needs at least two people. You can do it by yourself, too, but the goal is to keep the ball up in the air. You can't touch it. It's soccer rules, right? You can only use your feet and your knees and your body, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we were doing some great play actions last night. It was so much fun, though. Part of the thing about sport I love and it's just fun. It's so much fun. And that's the key. If you're not having fun in the sport you're playing, get out and find another
exactly.
one.
Absolutely. My sentiments exactly. If it ain't fun, out you go.
No doubt. So what's cooking, dear?
What's cooking is black bean dip. Now, this has got to be the easiest recipe I've ever made in my life. It's easy to prepare. They're light ingredients. It's super tasty, and it's nutritious to boot. Does it get any better than that? That's how I would describe black bean dip. So it's not only for dipping raw vegetables or chips, but I also put it on top of meat, fish, or chicken, on top of side dishes such as steamed vegetables. It really is a wonderful accompaniment for any meal. And I've made this dip with whole cumin seeds, with ground cumin, freshly roasted, with tahini, without tahini. I've used both lemon juice and lime juice, and each and every time, it always tastes really good. So let me just give you the recipe, and then we can talk about black beans. So what you need, if you can do your black beans right from scratch, and you can soak them overnight if you want to do that, or you can get a can of black beans, and you drain them and rinse them, 3 cloves of garlic crushed, 2 tablespoons of freshly squeezed lemon or lime juice, 1 tablespoon of tahini. Now, this is optional. You can have the tahini or not. 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt, or to your liking, and 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, or more if you like, and 1/4 cup of filtered water, and you can add more to the consistency if you want it smoother. You just mix it all together. You throw it all in. And it is just so good. And you know how that saying in that commercial with Frank's hot sauce? I put that bleep on everything.
Yeah.
That's what I do with the black bean dip.
Yeah, you're into dips lately, man. It's like, I don't know, what are you, a dip queen or what?
No, but I like healthy dips, though. I like to know that the dip that I'm having is substantial and nutritious and not got a bunch of garbage in it, right?
True. A lot of dips you buy in the store are just absolutely
yeah,
garbage.
I make mine right from scratch. And it's just really, really tasty. But here's the scoop on the little black beans. They're loaded with a rare combination of both protein and fiber. So per 100 grams of beans, you'll get 21 grams of protein and 16 grams of fiber, 63 grams of carbohydrates, and a whopping 1,500 grams of potassium. And we have talked about potassium levels. Right, especially in the summer, you want to have higher potassium levels because of the dehydration and you're sweating it out. Low in fat, low in sodium. So, I mean, hello. And the skins of the black beans are rich in anthocyanins, and anthocyanins are responsible for that deep red, blues, purples, and magenta colors, like in blueberries and grapes and acai berries. So they're powerful antioxidants. So get on this. This is a really delicious, if you like black beans, that is. And you know what the beauty of this is? I don't feel bloated when I have these black beans because they're cooked. And I feel really good after I eat it. And it's that cumin. That cumin just tastes so delicious. And as you know, I'm getting into Indian cooking and different Indian spices. And the cumin is a nutty, peppery flavor. And it really does play an important role in Middle Eastern and Indian food. So the whole cumin has an intense burst of flavor when you bite into each individual seed. Or if you have the ground cumin, it mixes fully with the other ingredients in the seasoning. So, you know, and as per usual, when I make my dishes the next day, it always tastes better. So take it to a barbecue, the black bean dip, top it on top of meat, fish, chicken, or vegetables, or sometimes just have a mouthful. It just tastes so good.
Because it's ground and reduced, it's a lot easier to digest. Otherwise, you turn into a tooth factory, you know, with beans generally, because when you eat them whole, like yes. in a bean dish with rice or something,
yes.
I find that
it can be a little
I can't digest them as well. The branching chain carbs, you know, they require certain enzymes that may or may not be available in one person to the next, you know.
Now, as I said, sometimes I put the tahini in. Sometimes I don't, depending on if I have it or not, right? Sometimes I use it all up and then I don't have it and I want to make a hummus. So it just makes it maybe not quite as smooth, but you don't have to have the tahini in this. You can just make it without. And with lemon or lime, you can add it as spicy as you want. Add more cayenne or less cayenne. So, it, you know, get on it. It's really a delicious dip and healthful too.
Right on. Get on the dip. So that's cool. And moving on, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Elizabeth Plourd. Now, this was an absolute must-listen-to interview. Dr. Plourd, she's a scientist, a hormone specialist, a medical researcher, and she's so much more. And what she concentrated on this particular interview was the hazards of sunscreen, electromagnetic radiation. So she's also been on many, many talk shows discussing her research. What do you think about that? Don't you think that she was hot to trot? Amazing interview, honey.
Well, she's very legitimate. She's not off a rocker. She's trained as a scientist. She knows how to think as a scientist. She understands logic, rational thinking, reason, statistics, evidence-based research. So she examines the research and the message that she gets from looking at that objectively is that ultimately, you know, we've all once again been motivated to do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. And I like the fact that she explains why.
Funny enough, I don't know if this is funny or not, but there's more cases of skin cancer and melanoma since the invention of sunscreen. And sunscreen is a billion-dollar industry in the USA alone, a billion-dollar industry. She says that sunscreens contain hormonally active testosterone or anti-testosterone agents. And when you sample the waters, because people go in the water with the sunscreen on, the ingredients of the sunscreen have been found in fish.
Yeah, it's destroying the environment. I mean, it's bizarre. It's just like people taking medication and then it goes into the sewage system, and then it goes ultimately through the groundwater into our water supply. And then you're getting, like, fragments of medications in your drinking water. It's bizarre.
She says that the sunscreen protects against ultraviolet, only 4% UVB and UVA. But she says you're not getting sunburnt, however, but the infrared rays are 47%, and it goes deeper, much deeper, and damages the DNA and mitochondria.
Yeah, you see, that's the con. You see, you put the stuff on, whether it's an SPF 30, 60, you know, you can get it as high as you want, 18 million if you want. It's insane. And then you go out in the sun all day, and you're bathing yourself in a radiation dose that is excessive. You know, you really have to be thoughtful about your own skin type and your potential to, you know, adapt to the sun.
Yes.
But but the volume of sun that you get when you're wearing sunscreen is usually excessive.
It's more than you normally would put on, right?
Yeah, you're not getting burnt on the surface of the skin, but those infrared waves are going through the skin and causing the damage, and that's where the cancer comes from.
And when you do get too much sun, put clothes on. Put something white on, something cotton or linen.
Yeah, you get the exposure. You need the light. You know, one researcher I know, I think Michael Pollack, he's really deeply involved in this research. And he says, put a little sunscreen on your face, maybe, you know, because your face is exposed much more so than the rest of your body.
Yes.
You know, expose the full body if you can. That's ideal. They walk around in shorts and bikinis, that kind of thing. Get that sun exposure.
Again, it goes back to use, not abuse, right? Don't abuse the sun, but use the sun to your benefit. But this is interesting. The titanium dioxide and zinc oxides that go into the skin and they go into the brain cells, the liver, and the bone marrow. And she says antioxidants protect from solar radiation. So this is where the supplementation comes in, the healthy eating comes in. Now also, I just couldn't believe this interview. It just like knocked my socks off. It really did. Vitamin D from the sun is a very important vitamin, as we all know. And more cases of rickets because of less sun in the world. People are staying away from the sun and also putting the sunscreen on, right? So they're blocking this important vitamin. And not getting enough sunlight can cause polyps in the colon, MS, cancers, weak bones, high blood pressure, and also depression. So people are staying away from the sun or putting the blockage on, and they're not realizing that this is a really important element in our health.
Right. Well, you need light, and it's important for depression, prevention of depression, like exercise. You get a lot of light, and you get a lot of vigorous activity and movement and exercise. It's not likely that you're going to experience depression. Now, if you add in the optimum diet, stabilize your blood sugar, you're going to fix probably 99% of depression just by doing that. So the light is an important component, and it affects our metabolism, our anabolic hormone milieu, the brain chemistry. But there's just so much myth information out there, like muscle has memory, or we only use 10% of our brain. That's been disproven now. We tend to use almost all of our brain, but in different ways. And regions of the brain communicate with each other and click on and off. So it's completely unlike what we originally thought. And this other myth, that this one we're talking about here, is that you need to run away from the sun, avoid it. It's like, think of it as a horrible thing.
Yes.
Make sure you protect your kids and never expose anyone ever to too much light and sun. And so what do we get as a culture, as a society? We get massive amounts of skin cancer and other forms of cancer,
exactly.
Depression, and all the metabolic disruptions that are associated with the poison that you're putting on the skin. It goes in and it doesn't come out.
It's just, I mean, I'm not surprised. I just find this, it gives me anxiety. I just can't, you know, I have a hard
time. I've always known that. You know, way back
yes.
when I started writing the course and I was writing the sections on light and
yeah.
traveling worldwide and seeing all these native people, these indigenous people, nobody uses sunscreen. No one uses it.
Well, people in the sun, let's say if people are going in the sun, they're drinking, they're smoking, they're partying, they're eating junk food and they're laying in the sun and... You know what I mean? Like, this, it's the antioxidants that prevent the burn and are healthy alternatives. It's not even an alternative. Antioxidants are where it's at. But this is what you should be taking when you're all the time so that you don't have any negative effects of sun exposure. I just use coconut oil, and I walk out in the sun, and I haven't had any problems at all. Mind you, I will cover up if I'm walking, you know, too much, and I feel like I've had enough sunshine, and I wear a hat as well. But another thing about the cell phones, because we're going to talk about this later, or electromagnetic radiation sickness, she says causes imbalances in cell membranes. It can put holes in the cell membranes, which could cause leaky gut syndrome, causing food allergies and menopausal symptoms. So, I mean, when you take a look at what's going on in the medical world, menopausal symptoms, that's another billion-dollar industry. So is food allergies, right?
Yeah.
It could be all from this electromagnetic radiation.
Well, we're doing almost everything wrong. And then instead of identifying causality and its connection to effect, no one thinks about cause. No one cares about cause. You know, it's like this. You got a plant and it doesn't look healthy and the leaves are starting to get sort of blotchy. So instead of looking at the soil and checking for water and doing what logic dictates, you just get a can of spray paint out green and then spray the leaves green.
Yeah.
And then it looks fine again. That's what people do to themselves, their life, their body, their health. That's how they operate.
Yeah.
They just treat symptoms.
Yes.
They cover it up. They run away from the work that has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about it. If you raise it up in conversation, people will attack you. They'll take it personally. How dare you imply that there's something wrong with the way that I live? How dare you?
Yes, exactly.
Right?
So that was a great interview. You might need to listen to it a couple of times, but she was awesome. So thank you very much, Dr. Elizabeth Plourd. Totally loved the interview.
Yeah, me too. So the hot topic is related. What's all that about?
Well, the hot topic related to is cell phone-itis. I call it cell phone-itis. And also, what's in the news was Robin Williams' suicide, right? Was this depression or was it premedicated murder? Ooh! Now, that's a hot topic if I ever heard one. So another thing that she was discussing was that people that use cell phones, and then they're on the phone all the time. I mean, I've seen people that can't even sit down and have lunch with me. They're on the phone all the time. And when they have a cell phone, they're on it. They don't turn it off. It's either buzzing or ringing or chiming or something like that.
Yeah.
And what I found is that we don't have cell phones, you and I. It's not that we've never had one, but we opt not to have
one. We had one. We had phones when they first came out. We had them for 10 years. We
oh
know all about having cell phones.
I know. So we opt not to have a cell phone. And people get mad at us. Well, how can we get a hold of you? It's not, you know, for your convenience, you want us to get a cell phone?
And then when we did get a cell phone or we got kids' cell phones, they would never answer them.
I don't
just because you have a cell phone doesn't mean you're going to answer it or that you have the desire to answer the telephone call.
Exactly. So, you know, people know how to get a hold of us. We do. We're online all the time.
I love not having a cell phone because when I walk to the gym or walk to shopping, and we're walkers, we're like Europeans, we love to walk. When I'm walking, I like to have peace of mind. I don't want to be hassled, bothered. I want to have my space. Now, when I go back to my computer in my office, of course, I'll check all my messages. I'll make the calls. We'll set up appointments. It's contained. But there's order to it, right?
Well, people are talking on the phone. They're walking down the street. They're banging into me. They almost get run over because they're so busy texting or talking on the phone. Just drives me up the
You know what I can't stand is when I'm talking to a person in the flesh. Hey, how's it going, Chuck? And we're starting to have a conversation. All of a sudden, his freaking cell phone goes off, and then he cuts me off. He puts me on the side, on the shelf, and makes his prior, because this is what happens when you got a cell phone. You become addicted to it. You've got to answer it. You serve it. It becomes your master. Oh, no, I got to answer my cell phone. So, and then once in a while, the odd person who has a sense of courtesy and appreciates the relationship dynamics that's going on in live with you as an individual, when you take the call, it totally disrupts the flow of the conversation that you're having with the real person.
Yes.
Right? Or it's like these guys come in with cell phones and they're placing orders. They just can't put the damn thing down.
I know, it's an addiction. Anyways, what she says, Elizabeth Plourd, she says that when you're using a cell phone to your ear, it destroys the cells in the hippocampus. So you're losing gamma-aminobutyric acid. And what this does, it makes people more rude. They have less tolerance. So she says we have a GABA-deficient society. Makes a heck of a lot of sense to me.
Back in the day, I learned about GABA, the Three Musketeers, glutamine, glutamate, and GABA. And GABA was advocated as a sedative calming agent for insomnia, great for ectos who want to gain mass. They should take GABA. And then nowadays, we're creating a subclinical deficiency of it in the brain because of the using a cell phone, which is a form of stimulation, right? So it's like exercise. It depletes your body. And so when you use a cell phone and you're doing stuff all the time, continuously, you're not getting any time to regenerate and restore.
Right. So because of this electromagnetic radiation, a lot of pilots and airline attendants really have a lack of energy, like a fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. However, just really quickly, because our time is running out, the Robin Williams suicide, You know, he was in and out of rehab. We don't know what happened to him as a youngster, what kind of life he had prior to this. But, you know, I'm sure being in and out of rehab, the guy was probably medicated to the hilt. You know, I can't see him drinking juices and eating a whole food diet and taking supplements. He was probably medicated to the hilt. And those serotonin uptake inhibitors, we talked to Dr. Ann Tracy Blakely. She was the one who talked about that, and she's on Facebook and discusses it. It's really a sad shame. Or is it a sad shame? Maybe the guy is out of his misery and torment. But we really have to think hard and fast about, you know, these drugs that people are taking for depression, because the depression can be linked to electromagnetic radiation, cell phones, the new smart meters. Where do you live? Is there a lot of radiation there? Are you getting enough sunlight? Are you eating whole food? There's a whole thing to it, right?
Right.
It's not just give somebody a pill and make them better. Like,
also, if you don't know Robin Williams personally,
yes,
you know nothing about him.
Yeah.
All you get is garbage from media, which is twisted and demented and very, very seldom has anything to do with real life and truth.
Yes, exactly.
It's all about selling advertising.
I know.
And catching your interest. And
anyway, so,
then this led me to doing some investigation. There are 38,000 people a year in the United States who commit suicide. And most of it, 90% of it's relative to addiction of some kind and depression, right?
Yes.
10 times less than Canada. So you got 3,890 people a year in Canada who commit suicide. What was interesting is that the highest percentage group are, I think it was 39 to 50. Middle age, more of them commit suicide than any other age group, and three times more men than women commit suicide. So I'm curious, like, I don't take a position automatically that suicide is wrong and horrible and demented and sick. No, I want to know what was going on in the person's mind. I'm very empathetic. I'm very sympathetic. I'm very concerned. And I do believe that individually we have the right to live and die. We're going to die anyway. And who's to say that someone else should command us and take control of us and put us in a loony bin or asylum, which can be a living death anyway. So there's a lot to it. I think that people need to investigate suicide, what it is, why people kill themselves, why some very intelligent. And also, this is interesting, why would a comedian whose whole life is dedicated to uplifting people and making them laugh secretly, behind the scenes, live in a state of continuous depression? Is it because he is so intelligent that he really gets what's going on? Is it possible that he snuffed himself out because he understands something that we don't? You see, I'm not saying that that's true or not. I'm just saying, instead of being positioned against something that we've been told is wrong, take a step back, examine it objectively, ask yourself in your own life, have you ever thought about committing suicide? Do you have any friends that are talking about it? What about Tracy and Corey? You know, we've had kids that have said, Dad, I want to kill myself. How do you respond to that? How do you react? How do you deal with it? You just take a club and smash people over the head?
Yeah, interesting.
Anyway, it's life. It's yeah. Life itself coming at people. It's sometimes it's very difficult to accept what is.
Yes.
You've been betrayed or lied to or deceived or taken advantage of, or your parents are complete a-holes.
And on that note, I think I'm going to watch Mrs. Doubtfire.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay.
No doubt that he's a great actor and has given the world, you know, his two bits, like we're all trying to. But yeah, this is cool because even though he's passed away now, we can still tap into the work that he's done, which is very cool with the technology.
Absolutely. Okay.
That's it. So what's your final word?
My final word is by Jim Rohn. Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune.